Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Screwtape, you will notice that we have got them completely fogged about the meaning of the word real. The first step of the Eightfold Path references an understanding, compassionate comprehension, that awakens one to the true nature of reality. Buddhism posits that we suffer because we don't see things as they truly are. Our distorted perception of reality, the beliefs about reality that are not true, referred to as moha or delusion, fuels attachment, aversion, and a false sense of self that is the basis of suffering. From a conditional perspective, it's almost impossible to grasp that the way we ordinarily experience ourselves or the world is not real. If we're not metaphysically inclined, we tend to accept as real what conforms to the dictionary definition of the word, actually existing as a thing or occurring in fact, not imagined or supposed. Conventionally speaking, physicality and materiality confer objective reality. After all, if I see a tree, touch it, hear the wind rustle in its branches, smell the fragrance of its flowers, surely the tree has an objective existence as a thing. On the other hand, conventionally speaking, emotions confer subjective reality. If I feel afraid, then my experience of fear is real, and what I'm afraid of is scary. Screwtape. Either application of the word could be defended, but our business is to keep the two going at once so that the emotional value of the word real can be placed now on one side of the account, now on the other, as it happens to suit us. If it seems real to me, why question the nature of reality? The tempter's office hopes we won't launch the investigation because ego identity preservation hinges on being confused and ignorant about what is real. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tom from San Jose.
Hey, Tom.
Hey. I haven't put myself in the queue for a while because I've been sick and my voice hasn't worked, but I'm really happy to be back.
Well, I'm so happy that you're feeling better.
Thank you. And this is quite an assignment. This is one that helps me so much because reading something like this, you know, there's a part later where it's just like, huh? You know, and it really is that for me. It's this huh place, but I love being in that place because I can just be here and be at peace and just feel it all flow around me and let it deepen in me without needing a mathematical proof or a bunch of code that writes it out or anything like that. It can just be something that permeates over time, and I get to see it in different ways, in ways that make sense, in ways that don't make sense, and just kind of allow it all to, this flow is what keeps coming to me, just a flow mm-hmm. of the whole mm-hmm. thing, instead of mm-hmm. this, okay, let's put it in a laboratory and pick it apart.
Mm-hmm.
Which feels so freeing.
Oh, so freeing. Yeah. And as you were describing that, I had this image of either being in a theater watching a play or a movie, or reading a book, reading a novel, and being just in a desperate, anxious twist to know what's going to happen, how is it going to go, what's going to. Yeah, and mm-hmm. it wouldn't be fun. And we know that that's not the way to approach those activities. But in our own life, we can spend a lot of it in exactly that kind of state.
Mm-hmm.
As if we have any say about any of it.
Yes, which just gets to the very... I mean, of course, I don't understand the whole thing, but it just feels like it's expressing so clearly exactly what this assignment is that this struggle of finding something to hold on to. That I have so much, identification with, but also there's definitely a part of me that has a strong, just a revulsion to it. It's like, oh my gosh, it simply doesn't work that way. And a revulsion to the energy that I give to it. And it's just like smashing my head on this wall. It's like, you don't have to do that. There is a different way that will really open you and open your heart and stop you from being so just clenching and angry and, you know, full of hate and ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, Tom, the part that in listening to you, the part I'm so struck by is that what we have to let go, and it's living that gets us to the point of letting go, is realizing that we can't affect it.
Mm-hmm.
We really can't. I mean, you're laying it out very clearly. We have two choices. We can either go through it in a knot of fear and hatred, or we can go through it completely relaxed. Those are our choices. Not if I'm twisted enough, I'll be able to make something be different. And if I'm relaxed, then nothing is going to go the way I want it to go, right? That's what I hear you closing in on, the clarity that it is going to go the way it's going to go. My opportunity is to relax and enjoy that, to really appreciate it, rather than being caught in the way I think it should be, actually getting to have an experience of what life is in itself.
Yes, just that feeling of being led into the club, you know, that feeling of, oh, you know, now this is, I can see how it's all operating on this totally different level, not in like a laboratory way, but just in a way of flowing with it.
Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you, I get so much out of this when I apply it to, you know, my family relationships. I just had family in town for Thanksgiving. You know, applying all of that to those relationships, it helps so much to just not take any of that stuff personally. You know, the family I have here, the family that was visiting, the family we were all talking about because, boy, are they doing strange things, you know, and, you know, the politics we're talking about with family, you know, boy, all that stuff can get me so much in knots. But applying this while those people are with me is so freeing, and I can I can feel happy, and what a great blessing.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is. It truly is. Yeah. Well, thank you, Tom. Glad you're back.
Thank you, Gusso. Go happy.
Go happy.
Yes. Thanks, Tom. And here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Dan in Minnesota.
Hey, Dan.
All right. Wow, it feels like reading this assignment, it feels like it all just comes down to this, doesn't it?
You mean that reading this assignment, it all comes down to this assignment?
I mean, really, the whole thing is in this assignment, right? Like, just don't, the voices, nothing the voices say is real. Listening to the voices is not participating with reality. The only thing that's not real is the voices. You know, if you're not listening to the voices, then what you're left with is what's real.
That's so wonderful.
That's it.
Yes, exactly. The voices are the only thing that's unreal. Listening to the voices is not being in reality, and stop listening to the voices and what's here is real.
Yeah, it's like I was reminded of at some point in practice we had the 11th precept, not to participate in conversation with the voices in the head. And you know, it's like it's just like that is it. That's what it comes down to. I've been driving a lot and listening to a lot of practice recordings. And so I'm confused about whether this thing that I heard was from recent days of this year long or from years gone by. I don't remember what the context was, but the conversation was about conversations with the mentor being very soothing. And I kind of went into my head a little bit and did a little etymology. And I think that the words like a soothsayer used to be like a truth teller. Mm. And so I think that hearing the truth is very soothing.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes.
And and there's just been, and through recent weeks, just the way to be practice and the way to practice and the way to practice being present for me has been to just really work hard to just say what's actually so, which again is just then you're not with the voices, you're in the present and it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's such a beautiful connection of the soothsayer being the person who can see the truth and see within quotes, right? And that I love what you said, Dan, because it so points to our experience that of resonance. That when we hear the truth, that sense of alignment is what feels so soothing, right?
Yeah.
Because it's almost like I hear whatever it is, vibrationally, something that completely responds to an essence within me that cannot be disputed. I don't know what it is, but I can feel when that click happens, whether it's a quote, whether it's what somebody says, it's what the mentor says, what practice is saying, what I'm saying, all of it just feels right with that way of rightness that we could never explain. And part of that experience for me, as you said, is the ability to listen to what's arising in me, which can only be done in the moment, and articulate it as best as I can, so to be true, so that I'm the soothsayer also.
Mm. Yes, exactly. So you, the person who's having that experience of saying what's so, it gets, gets soothed, and anybody who happens to be listening gets soothed, right? Because it is not triggering all the twists that was just being talked about in the last conversation, right? Getting all twisted up in non-real stuff is the distress that being in the moment removes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. We become a social relief because we're not participating in the ego twists and turns in a karmic dynamic ourselves. And
right.
So at least one person, the most powerful person in the room is the person who's present.
So three cheers for reality.
Mm-hmm. Three cheers for reality. Yes, of course. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, thank you.
So happy.
Three cheers for reality. That's good. Mm-hmm.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. It's Lucinda.
Hey, Lucinda.
Hi. So it always makes me laugh when I have that resonating thought that it doesn't matter what I think about something, what's going to be is going to be, and I don't have any effect on it. It's it is so freeing. I have to second that. It's just so, I just drop everything. I drop the conversation when I hear that, either from the outside or from the inside. Like, it doesn't matter. I remember I was engaged to be married like 50 years ago. And the boyfriend said, well, if it's going to be, it's going to be. And I went, what? I was so insulted.
This is a non-negotiable, my friend. What are you talking about?
You're so funny. But what I've been looking at is the difference, and this was from a couple weeks ago, but it pertains to every assignment is the difference between being lost in thought and having a thought. And it's like that, the difference between realizing it doesn't matter what I think about something, it's going to be what it's going to be.
Yes, and it seems to me that one of the things that we're pointing at here this day is it doesn't matter what I think about something. It actually, we could say, it doesn't matter what I do, and we all know that experience. You know, I've spent whatever period of time preparing for something, and then it's canceled at the last minute. So how all of that we can see, we just have no control over. In its circumstances, we just have no control over. And yet how we are certainly feels like a contribution. Right? And that seems to be the point that is being made with all of this, just letting it go, letting it be, just being here, being with what is, out of the conversation in the head, just here, just present. That, I suspect, makes an enormous difference.
As a contribution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We probably will never know how or if in fact, but it does seem to be the one thing that we can contribute.
Yes. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not like we're useless. we can always be good energy. Yeah.
Right.
Which feels to me like kind of what we're doing in practicing awareness. Now, that I guess the first thing we could say we're doing is attempting to end suffering, our own. and yet, there's that intuitive sense that it's so much more than that. That for one person to end suffering is just such a contribution to the whole. It's not a self-centered and it's not a useless pursuit. It may be the very most important thing we can offer.
Well, and calming for the room that we're
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Lucinda.
Gotcha.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Lucinda. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next
hey,
caller.
Hey, Ashwini, it's Jen and Squim.
Hey, Jen.
Hey. Gosh, I'm so enjoying the conversation and absolutely love the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing for me that kind of broke me wide open, actually, as I was reading it was the Velveteen Rabbit part.
Mm-hmm.
It just mm-hmm. and actually I think if I remember correctly, the Velveteen Rabbit part came after the Wei Wu Wei quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like this beautiful progression of I love and for years have read Wei Wu Wei and am very much in the camp of there are actually times where it really, there's a sort of clarity that comes with it, but often, I remember Sherry saying early on when I was training at the monastery, just let it wash over you. Just be present with it. And so that sense of being transformed by it just without, quote, understanding any of it. So in the assignment, having that experience of just being with it, and then that Velveteen Rabbit part, I just started weeping. It just was so, that image of, it is hard. It is hard mm-hmm. sometimes. And mm-hmm. and you lose, and by the time you're real, you've lost one of your eyes, and your fur is rubbed off, and you're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was so lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is, I'm almost not sure that I can capture the poignancy of getting to that Velveteen Rabbit place. It just feels so much more, at least for me, the counterpoint between Wei Wu Wei and that passage is it's such a humanly experiential a feeling explanation of exactly what's being pointed at, right? Mm-hmm. In the Wei Wu Wei quote, it touches me because I can so relate to it.
Yeah.
Say a little bit more about the weeping, Jen. That the poignancy of it is what gets us as well, right? The beauty of the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the this is just what drops in when you ask that is, as I was reading it, my dad has this little monkey, stuffed monkey that he had when he was little. And he still has it, and he writes. He does kind of this writing. And the way that he taught, I just pictured that. I mean, it barely has any, you know, literally the eye is dropped off and the fur is rubbed off and the whole thing of it. And there's something so tender and sweet about the love that I project he has for that monkey, and there's a poignancy in, you know, I probably don't have a lot of time left with him, and I don't know, Ashwini, there's something about the the love that feels what makes it so poignant is that it's the form of it is finite, but that the what breaks me open is the realization that the love itself is infinite.
Yes, the contradiction in that, right? That's what is so incredibly beautiful, that it's a passage of time and a passage of attrition, and yet it what the process does is bring you face to face with that which is eternal and infinite.
And so that, as you say that, it reminds me that, so then with the alarms going off every day, I did the little, I put it in my phone, so when the alarm goes off in the memos, I read what we're doing each time the alarm goes off, because I so often, wait, what are we doing this week? So it's got that plus the excerpt from the Velveteen Rabbit. And so I've been practicing just every time the alarm goes off, that deep bow to the capital S self and just resting in that place. It's exquisite.
In honor of the insight. Or the process, right? The love within me is greeting the love within. Love greets love in that bow.
So thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Oh, it's just great to be present to this whole conversation today. I mean, every single thing that is that was in our dialogue, it's just resonating with me as well.
Yeah, it's not, if someone talks about oneness, that's not a leap for us at times like this.
The last 2 weeks, I have had a wisdom tooth extraction that then went to a dry socket and then an abscess. And I've been in level 10 pain for days. But you know what is, it was painful. There is no doubt that there was pain there, but there was not suffering with the pain.
Yeah.
There was no resistance to it. It's just, this is what is so. And thank God that I'm very blessed that you and Ashwini entered into my life or I entered into yours, or God, whatever, the universe.
We got together.
Because it's just like, be kinder to yourself than you think you ought to be, right? So in that pain, you know, breathing and directing love to that jawbone. It's time to take some medicine, so take some medicine, you know?
Yeah. Well, and Bill.
Can't eat your favorite foods. That's okay, you know?
Yeah.
So it's everything was just like just receiving everything as it is.
Yeah.
And, the pain was there, but receiving it as it is and moving with it, flowing with it.
Well, and the essential piece of it, to me anyway, is in our lingo, you have to have the experience to get, which I know you have and do. He wasn't alone. There was nobody there in opposition. So here's this guy in this amount of pain, and what conditioning would have us do is believe that our job is to rail against it, right? To, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Why now? It's Thanksgiving. There's all this really good food. I can't even enjoy it. This is really unfair, right? And so the poor person who is having the experience is not just abandoned. They're left in a room by themselves with a maniac, right?
Yeah.
And instead, here's this guy having this experience with somebody who is just surrounding him with unconditional love and support and care and understanding. It doesn't get any better than that for us.
Far better than stuffing or turkey or anything else that you could put in your mouth. Just to be there and, okay, this is what's so, and like not even trying to think about it, just like, okay, what is love calling me to do now? Oh,
yeah.
Take a nap. Okay, going to take a nap. Oh,
yeah.
Take some Tylenol. And when the pain really got bad and I almost looked like I had a goiter on the side of my face, and going in and seeing the oral surgeon, you know, that whole process, just to see how the universe was supporting, too. Like, this guy was not alone. Not only was I being the love to this person, but it's like the oral surgeon was fantastic. She was like, now listen, this is going to hurt, but we're going to get through this. And so just like, and my spouse, also Linda, was also right there caring, you know, I've got you, I'll take the day off. So it was like a love fest, even though there was this physical pain.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And grateful doesn't even come close, does it? When we step back from that kind of thing and see how it could have been, and then to see how it is and the gratitude that to all of it, and even in a place that can sound a little but to be grateful for an experience like that, because it shows us, it takes us to that place of love for ourselves, within ourselves, and then the love that surrounds us. We can no longer be upset or feel sorry for ourselves or anything else, because it's just all so very good. tooth stuff happens, right? It just does. We can know that. We have teeth, and so stuff is going to happen with them. And then what you get to see in this is all of the love that can be a part of anything that happens in life.
Yeah, and you know, the joy or the gratitude was, I literally at 11 o'clock this morning, so it would be 8 o'clock for you guys, I had the stent, the drainage tube removed out of my mouth from the oral surgeon. And so we came home, and my wife said, do you want to eat something? I said, nope, I'm going to get on the call, and I'm going to, like, tell scary what this experience. This is freaking awesome. So it's even the joy of being able to be on the call and the joy is fulfilled. So thank you.
Well, and I'm very happy that that you're on the other side of it. You know, one of those great experiences, and we can. It's okay to be okay that when it passes. That's good too. We can be happy and grateful for that as well. All right. Well, thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Bye.
Bye. Ashwini?
Sorry, double muted. I said thank you, Bill, and that brings us to the end of another great show.
And good Lord willing, tomorrow.
We'll talk to more callers tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy.